Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC, and you are probably familiar with the iconic image of Barack Obama that was everywhere throughout the campaign. You've seen it. It's the red, white, and blue image of Obama with the word hope at the bottom. But this is just the latest famous image created by the artist Shepard Fairey. He's the man behind the Obey Giant guerrilla art campaign that plastered Andre the Giant's face around the world. Remember those? His work, both in the street and in galleries, has become more overtly political over the years and is now the subject of a major retrospective at the Institute for Contemporary Art in Boston. Shepard Fairey was also on our website just the other day as part of WNYC's online lecture series, something that he did last night at the New York Public Library. You can hear that at WNYC.org. And Shepard Fairey, it is great to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So why should we obey Andre the Giant, and why does he have a posse?
Well, actually, you should obey what you think is right. The whole idea of the Obey campaign was really to get people to question a lot of the commands that they're confronted with, the imagery that assaults them, mostly advertising in the public space, and create a little bit of an alternative and a way to push back with art and just deal with the dialogue about the control of public space.
And listeners, if you know Shepard Fairey's work and you want to see some of it, or if you don't know his work and this is just kind of vaguely ringing a bell, like, oh, yeah, I think I saw those Obey signs somewhere, or which Obama poster was that? We have a slideshow on our webpage of some of his stuff. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show right now. And you can look, for example, at the Obey Giant image number one in the slideshow, and number two is Gigante. And let's talk about that. You've used images of Che and Lenin and Richard Nixon and Mao with text like Power to the Posse or Viva la Revolucion. These works seem political, but the message is a bit abstract.
Yeah. Earlier on, I was mostly taking images and really talking about how images are used as symbols, and a lot of times the way they're packaged isn't actually what the content is about. And something could be packaged in, very friendly Americana, yet be sinister. Plenty of products, McDonald's, Marlboro, and conversely, you could maybe get people to question the agenda of things they're confronted with when something is presented in a provocative package.
So to be clear, this Gigante, it looks like the famous Che Guevara photograph, but you've put Andre the Giant's face in there instead of Che's.
Yeah, demonstrating both how easy it is to, hijack a symbol of rebellion and to say that this is, this is something that it's style over substance. But I also think that Che is a character who's worth knowing a little bit about. So it's working on a couple different levels. But a lot of my earlier work was about taking images that had prior meaning and prior assumptions and tweaking those to get people to really question how images can be manipulated.
Yeah, and I always thought you were making fun of Che in that even the revolutionaries can turn into dictators, and so you put Andre the Giant in his place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you were talking about the dictator series with the Lenin, the Stalin, the Mao, and Richard Nixon, one of our most famous dictators here in the United States. And a lot of that is – a lot of my work is about these people who are very charismatic and compelling that rise to power, and then they abuse that power. And it's something to be cautious about how much power we give people, now, including Barack Obama.
Yeah. You want to say something about that? Are you getting a little oh, my God, what is he doing the last few days?
Well, I think that he's in a very difficult situation. But, a lot of my work has been about getting people to, question authority and question things. But, Obama as an alternative to Bush or McCain to me is a
no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. But we always should, I think, remain, you know, very, very watchful of what people are doing and hold them accountable. But, you know, Obama, I just I think that he's inherited so many problems. It's going to be very difficult for him to do the things he wants to do.
Where did the Obama Hope visual concept come from?
Well, when, you know, I saw Obama speak in 2004, I thought it was compelling. And when he announced his candidacy, I really liked him. And he was being portrayed as maybe too inexperienced, too outside of the mainstream. And I just wanted to make an image supporting him that made him look iconic, patriotic, that something that I felt would make people look at him a little bit closer. And you know, if they went to his website and saw his ideas, that they'd be converted. So, you know, just making an image that made him look presidential was the inspiration. But you brought up the Shea image. I mean, the Korda Shea image, what's so compelling about that image, I think, is the gaze into the future. So that was part of what I was trying to put across, this sort of abstract visionary thing that is very difficult to describe, but when you see it, I think you know it.
Artist Shepard Fairey, our guest on WNYC right now. You can see a slideshow of some of his work on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can hear a lecture that he did as part of our online lecture series, also at WNYC.org. There is this much publicized dispute between you and the Associated Press over the Obama photograph that you used to make the Obama Hope poster. I know the case is still pending, but tell me why you asked the court to rule that you did not infringe on the copyright of the photograph as the AP claims you did. It was their photo, right?
Yes, that's correct. Well, that's in dispute as well. The photographer, Manny Garcia, is disputing whether the AP owns it. But yeah, it was someone's photo, either Manny's or the AP's, that I used as a reference. Well, I think that you know, a lot of artists who would like to make work that's commenting on world leaders are not going to be able to get a portrait sitting with Barack Obama or George Bush or anyone who they'd like to make a piece of art from. And a lot of those artists also could not afford to license an image. And the real question here is when a likeness of someone is created, illustrated, and it's transformed both aesthetically and in intent, it's given new meaning. Just because there's a photo that likeness is based on, does that mean that the new piece of art doesn't have validity as something that you know, should be able to be created as an expressive dialogue? And I think the answer is yes. It's very legitimate. And you know, when you look at art history, you look at you know, from the Duchamp mustache on the Mona Lisa to Warhol to Liechtenstein. The idea of incorporating things from pop culture and giving them new meaning is, you know, there's a strong history of that I think I'm just building upon.
Another image that you created, which is the fifth one on our slideshow, if you're on our site looking at that, has the word obey on an image that looks like our money that reads, obedience is the most valuable currency. So you're laying into consumer culture there?
Well, I am. You know, I think that yes, I'm dealing with consumer culture. I'm a capitalist, but I think that people should consume with discretion and understand how they spend their money is a means of political influence, and also people who can make you know, just as George Bush did after 9/11, saying you're either for the terrorists or against the terrorists. Using that influence of what people think is the socially appropriate position to take on something, that's very valuable currency. So there's a sort of a two-way thing going there.
And part of street art or graffiti, I don't know if you call your own work graffiti, is this idea that the medium is the message, as Marshall McLuhan once said, that because it's illegal, some of it, that the public act of defiance is in and of itself the message. Where does that come in for your work?
Well, I think that's always been a component of my work, that, you know, there's a lot of street art out there that's not overtly political, yet in its content, you know, the picture isn't political, but it's political in that someone has said, I'm not going to allow my lack of monetary resources to stop me from being able to communicate in public. This shouldn't just be about the advertisers who've purchased the space. I'm going to say what I want to say. And that's a, you know, that's a political statement just by putting something out there that you don't technically have permission to do. But, you know, a lot of people when they're younger, they're not going to be able to find any other venue. So I think it's a, you know, it's a great way to express oneself without any bureaucracy. But I also think that, with my work, whether it's on the street or on a T-shirt or on a poster or in a gallery, a lot of my politics are in the actual, the messages within the pieces.
So Todd in Manhattan has an interesting question for you, I think. Hi, Todd. You're on WNYC with Shepard Fairey.
Yes. First, I just want to say that I take exception to, you know, putting President Nixon in with a bunch of dictators. But my question is just that it seems that, on the one hand, your career has been kind of mocking, pointing out the irony and making a political statement that way with things like the Andre the Giant poster. But on the other hand, with the Obama poster, that is, in fact, a form of propaganda. So, I mean, can you have it both ways?
Well, I'm obviously trying. I think that when I look at things in the United States, the way media culture works and things are simplified to in these sound bites that really don't display the complexity of an issue. My Barack Obama poster was designed to work within that system, and it was to me, just dealing with reality. And I'd prefer that every candidate could get on the air for an amount of time to talk about the things they care about without having to use the talking points and the short sound bites, and that something like that poster really wouldn't be necessary. But I think with the way things work, that was the way that I could draw attention to Obama. And it was actually an incredibly sincere piece, unlike a lot of the other things that I've done. And I'd like people to hold the leaders accountable and be suspicious. I think they should be. But I also think when someone has merits, that creating a piece that, that supports them is definitely appropriate.
You've used the word propaganda to describe your own work, haven't you?
Absolutely. Propaganda has a really negative connotation. But I mean, just in the way people choose to phrase things, the way things are spun. I mean, propaganda is part of our daily lives on, both a conscious and subconscious level, always.
You started the Obey campaign Obey series of pieces in 1989, right?
That's correct.
What was going on in 1989?
Well, I actually started the Andre the Giant thing in 1989, and what was going on, I was working at a skate shop making homemade stenciled T-shirts, and the sticker was just for a group of my friends, and it then was like a chain letter that went crazy. It was kind of a happy accident. But what it did, putting some stickers around, was it really opened my eyes to how people respond to images that they don't know how to interpret immediately in public space. And then I studied a little bit of phenomenology and situationism, and it just opened my eyes to the power of images, the role they can play in public.
And you've come a long way since then, because your Obama Hope poster is now hanging in the National Portrait Gallery. So if street art is hanging in a gallery, is it grassroots anymore?
Well, the Obama image, what I'm so proud of with that image is not that I think it's an amazing poster or that, that it's gotten me some recognition. It's that it actually worked as it functioned as a grassroots tool. And, I think that it being in the National Portrait Gallery and in my museum retrospective, that's great that it's on a pedestal in a sense. But only because it will remind people that something created by someone who was not part of the campaign, not a lobbyist, not working for a corporation, not trying to use their influence so they'll get a kickback later on, actually could make something that made a difference. And that's how democracy should work, I think.
Now, we just have a minute left. Here is a criticism, and you've been a lightning rod for criticism at times. Scott in Cambridge writing in, he says, I just saw the Shepard Fairey exhibit at the ICA in Boston. He's a fine graphic designer, but I wouldn't call him an artist. He merely rips off old wartime posters using the aesthetic of the Russian constructivist without saying anything subversive or new. Andy Warhol turned art into pop culture. Ferry simply turns pop culture into so-called art.
Well, you know, I would say that a lot of my work absolutely is built on historical aesthetics that have certain assumptions that people will make. You know, and I am definitely a graphic designer. I leave it to other people to decide whether they really consider me an artist. I think that, you know, my ambitions are a little bit deeper than most graphic designers. So, that's about as far as I'll take that.
It's almost like this debate is breaking out about you right now among our listeners. Edward in Manhattan called in to say, how do you justify the monetization of Andre the Giant? It's a brand now. On the other hand, someone else posted on a website, it is inspiring to see an artist who treats his craft as a sustaining business, not just a semi-secret hobby.
Well, first of all,
And we have 20 seconds.
I've evolved away from the Andre the Giant to something that I would consider wholly my own. And I'm doing work that's accessible to the public. On the street, free and very inexpensive posters. I'm a populist.
Shepard Ferry, you can see Supply and Demand, his retrospective on view at the ICA in Boston through August. There's a new beautiful hardcover book, I should have mentioned this earlier, called Supply and Demand. We have it here, the work of Shepard Ferry, incredible collection of his stuff. He was also part of a panel last night at the New York Public Library, which we have on our website now, part of WNYC's online lecture series, and we put a slideshow of selected images right on our page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show if this got you curious. Shepard Ferry, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.